So hello, good afternoon, and welcome everybody to Webinar Wednesday from Sight and Sound Technology. We're here for another week and we're delighted to be back. As always, my colleague Carl Braley is here, and my co-presenter today, or maybe I'm the co-presenter, I don't know, Sharon Lyons is with us, back with us again, because Sharon did such a good session last week, we just wanted more. So today we're talking about calendars and diaries. And I suppose for many people, long gone is the day of the paper-based diary that you have on your desk. Now you're looking at something that's digital and that's accessible to you, I suppose, wherever you are, on a number of different platforms. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the popular services today and how they work. Before we do that, though, as usual, you can get in touch with us today on the Zoom meeting platform if you wish to raise your hand. You can press Alt and Y using Windows, Command and Y if you're on a Mac, or if you're joining us via the mobile app, you can activate the Raise Hand button. If you'd like to chat with us, you can do so by pressing Alt and H on Windows, Command and H on the Mac, or activate the chat option from within your mobile application. Now, before we get into today's session, just a quick note that Webinar Wednesday from today onwards is moving to a fortnightly broadcast. We listened to feedback we received from our survey, and thank you to so many people who completed that. And I think in general, people are getting a little, are sort of out and about a bit more, and there's lots more things happening. So we're going to run our sessions every 2 weeks. The next session we have is going to be on Wednesday the 7th, of October. And on Wednesday the 7th, we're going to be celebrating World Sight Day with a very special Webinar Wednesday. We have a panel set up to talk all about technology and sight loss. It's going to be a great session. It's this day, 2 weeks, to mark World Sight Day, which takes place on the following day, October the 8th. And Sight and Sound Technology will be doing other things, by the way, to mark World Sight Day. So watch our social media for more information on that. On that week. So that's just about it. I'm going to introduce again or reintroduce Sharon. Sharon, welcome back.
Hi, Stuart.
Great to have you back again today. I thought before we get into it, we should probably just reminisce and maybe set the context for how we managed or how we journeyed through our different calendaring options. And Sharon, I suppose you and I worked together in a previous life.
Yep.
So I remember when you had a paper diary.
I did. I always had a paper diary. I was very organized with my paper diary. And of course, working with yourself, Stuart, and other people with sight loss, I realized, you know, I really should be using some electronic version of this. But I just couldn't see, you know, how I could represent everything that I had in the paper diary. You know, how could I manage to look at like over a month and stuff, and how would I, like, I like to cross things out in my diary and know that things were crossed out in my diary, that things were cancelled. That was important information. But I took the plunge, as it were, and never looked back, because the thing is, with a electronic diary, you can put whatever you want in it. So I could have an appointment that I wanted to cancel, or that was cancelled, and I could just write cancelled on it. So I had that information. And the massive thing for me was being able to search through my calendar, through an electronic calendar. You can't do that on a paper diary. Well, you can, but it would take you a lot longer to search for something on a paper, in a paper diary. So that just, that was revolutionary for me. And I haven't had a paper diary since.
I found that very useful too, to be able to search, particularly during this year. And I suppose we've been living in very strange times. And someone says, I think we did that last week. And I say, I don't know, maybe it was 3 weeks ago. And you're flicking back through your calendar on your phone or your computer. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's always good to look at what you did last year and maybe when you were working with somebody. And it's a very quick way to find that information. So
yeah,
that's what we're talking about today in terms of diaries.
And also, dare I say it, as I get older, my memory isn't as great as it maybe was before. If it ever was great, I don't know. So it's really handy, even just dentist appointments and just being able to see when I last went to the dentist, how many years it was, things like that.
Yeah, for me as well, I suppose my journey with diaries went right back to devices like the Braille Light. For some people who've been sort of around technology for a long time, the Braille Light was around, and it was very, very portable solution for me to carry around, and I used to write everything in it, which was great for me, but not very useful for anybody else if I wanted to share anything with people. And then sort of when we started using Nokia talking phones, there was a little applet, on PC Suite, which was called Calendar Sync, and you could sync your Nokia phone with your Microsoft Outlook calendar, and that was great as long as you remembered to do it. I'd often forget, and you couldn't set it up to happen automatically. And then, of course, we moved into the real functionality of Microsoft Exchange and Office 365, which is what I'm going to talk about, and the Google Calendar system, which is what Sharon's going to talk about. So they're the areas we're going to cover today, and just talk a little bit about how they work and how you can use them. One thing I did forget to say, because Carl often remembers, is that if you're chatting to us today, if you're typing in the chat window, please make sure to send it to all panelists and attendees so that everybody can see what you're saying. So Sharon, I don't know if you'd like to start and give us a bit of a sense of Google Calendar. Or do you want me to start?
I think you've got yourself muted.
Sorry. Oh gosh.
I was beginning to wonder there. Am I left here on my own?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Like Sharon, would you like to go first? Silence. Okay. Yeah, I can go first, Stuart, if that suits.
Ladies first, Sharon, all the time.
Thank you. Or just me anyway. Anyway, I'm going to switch off my video just because I'm going to share my screen and just to make sure it's not too much for the broadband. And okay, so I will just bear with me a minute there. Okay. So I'll share my screen.
Meeting control.
Okay.
Meeting control.
And you should be able to see Google Calendar. And if I move around a bit.
Google Calendar dash schedule starting Wednesday, September 23rd.
You should be able to hear Jaws. Please let me know if anyone's having trouble hearing that.
Sounds perfect.
Thank you, Carl.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Chat's not lighting up, is it? okay. Right. So the Google Calendar then is another application in your Google Suite. So if you have a Google account, you can get to the calendar, you log into your Google account and you put in your address bar. If I do Alt D.
Alt D, Chrome button menu, customize and control Google. Alt D, address and search bar, edit, https://calendar.google.com.
So you can just, once you're logged into your Google account and you're in your Gmail, just open another tab, control T, and type in calendar.google.com, and it will bring up your Google Calendar. And in here, it's the same kind of thing with the other Google apps. You know, you have a set of shortcuts. Shortcuts generally are turned on. If you turn them on in Gmail, they'll be turned on here. There's a slightly different shortcut for looking at a list of shortcuts, because I think it was question mark or shift question mark in Gmail. Let me just get back to the web page.
F6. T.
And I think it's control, no, shift.
Question.
Okay. Okay, we'll come back to that one. Oh no, control, yes, that's right. Control and forward slash.
Control slash keyboard shortcuts dialog, close button.
Okay, so it brings up a, you can't really read this very well with a screen reader, but it brings up a list of different shortcuts that you can use.
F1, untitled dash Google Chrome, control W.
Okay, accidentally pressed F1 there. Okay, so we're on Google Calendar, and once you're in there, you can press things like T for today.
Grid, Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, today link.
And then it says Wednesday the 23rd, so I can arrow down.
10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. weekly staff meeting, Sharon Lyons accepted, no location, September 23rd.
Okay. And I can arrow down again.
Column 201, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. webinar Wednesday, colon, let me check the diary.
And that's the meeting we're in now. I can carry on arrowing down.
Wednesday, September 30th, 2020 link.
And it's actually going to the next appointment that I have, which is Wednesday the 30th in this particular calendar. So the reason why it's just got the meetings and that are actually in this calendar and it kind of jumps over the days is because I am in agenda view. And this is the most accessible view in Google Calendar. So agenda view, agenda, A for agenda, will put you into agenda view and it just lists your appointments and the dates that you have appointments. There is also a day view. So if I press T for today, which is a really handy one, it will take me back to the 23rd.
T, Wednesday, September 23rd.
And then I can press D for day.
D, Google Calendar dash Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, today.
And this might work with a screen reader.
Main region, 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, this
weekly
one's not
staff
so bad.
Meeting. 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. webinar Wednesday call.
Okay, so I was tabbing around, similar to what Stuart would do in Outlook that he'll show you in a while. And I can tab around on the day view, but I can also do week.
W, Google Calendar dash week.
So I can press W for the week view. This is where the accessibility starts to kind of fall down a bit, because if you move around, it's a bit of a table. And then there's month as well, I think, M for month.
M, Google Calendar dash September, no events, Sunday, September 6th, contains Monday, column 1, row 2, no events, Monday, September 7th.
Okay, it's not too bad. I can move around, but it's a grid, so I'm doing up, down, left, right. I don't find that particularly helpful for screen readers, you know, but it depends on your preference. So I press A.
A, Google Calendar dash schedule starting Wednesday, September 23rd.
So we're back on the agenda view. The other thing you can do, actually, this might work quite well with the day view. If I press D for day.
D, Google Calendar dash Wednesday, September 23rd.
Now, I can actually press N for next.
N, main region, grid, column header, Thursday, September 24th.
And I can tab.
Side panel complement, toggle side panel,
okay,
view side information
there.
Button menu, secure, press space.
If you ever get lost in Google Calendar, you can always press T.
T.
Maybe. Oh, or A for
A.
Agenda. Now it's got now.
Toggle side panel comp main region grid column header.
Or basically shift tab. So T should bring
T,
me back
grid,
to
column header Wednesday, September 20th.
The 23rd. Eventually got back. So what I did there was I moved to the 24th, but it didn't actually tell me that there were no meetings on that day. So this is what I mean by it not being particularly accessible apart from in the agenda view. So I can press A.
A, Google Calendar dash schedule starting Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, main region, grid, Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020, today link.
And I can arrow down.
10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m.
I can arrow down to my appointments there. Okay, so what I wanted to show you there was you could do N for next and P for previous. So if I pressed N,
Google Calendar dash schedule starting Thursday, September 20.
It takes me to the next day that I have meetings on. I'll try it again.
N, Google Calendar dash schedule starting Friday, September 25th. 2020, N, Google Calendar dash schedule starting Saturday, so N, Google Calendar dash schedule starting Monday, September 28th, 2020, main region, grid, Wednesday, September 30th, okay. 2020, link.
Now, there's not another meeting until next Wednesday, according to that, so that's why it jumped to the 30th. And
10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., weekly staff
weekly
meeting,
staff
Sharon
meeting.
Lyons, accepted, no location.
Okay. So there's N and P, next and previous, and the other T for today. And the other really good one is if I want to jump to a date. So I know that there's the next Wednesday webinar is on the 7th of October. So I can do a G for go to. G
go to date dialogue.
And
date
then
edit.
I can Except type
23,
in
2020.
Was it 7?
7/10/0 Enter. Main region. Grid. Monday, August 3rd, 2020.
Okay.
Link.
That didn't work. Okay. That worked earlier, but it's just testing me. Let's try again.
G. Go to date dialog. So date at 07/10/20. Enter. Main region. Grid. Monday, August 3rd. 2020 link.
Do you know what it's doing? Answers on a postcard too. If you're stuck, press T for today.
Main region, grid, Wednesday, September.
I know what's happened here actually. It's the American, North American date setup. So I hadn't changed that. So that's interesting because it worked earlier. Anyway. How did that work? It must have been one of those dates that's the same that I tried it with. Okay, but what I could do is I could show you settings and go in and fix it. The also the fact that I have kind of PM 2 to 3:30 PM, I actually prefer the 24-hour clock. So I can go into settings by pressing S.
S, main region, language and region edit, type and text.
Okay, and then I can tab down through... these settings.
Language list with 73 items. English left paren, US right paren. 9 of 73. Language
well,
list.
Maybe we'll just change
English
that
left
to
paren, UK right paren. Enter.
English,
Language
UK.
List with country list with 256 items. Ireland. 113 of 256.
Ireland,
to
that's
move
correct.
To an main region. Date format list with 3 items. 12/31/
Okay.
Date format list with 3 items, 2020-12-31.
So there's 3
items
here.
To move to an item, press the arrow keys.
That's giving me lots of useful information there. So I can have the year first, and then the month, and then the date, or
12/31/2020.
What it was set to,
2 of
the 3 North American
to move
format.
31/12/2020. 1 of 3.
That's the one I
Enter.
Want.
Enter. Date format list with
okay.
6 items, 31
then...
slash...
Next one.
Time format
time
list
format.
With 2 items. 1:00 p.m.
So I can arrow
time
down.
Time format list. 1:00 p.m. 13:00.
Use my arrow keys to pick the
13:00. 2
as
of 2.
In the 24
Enter.
Hour.
Time format list
okay.
with 4 items.
And
13.
Then I can just press escape. As you change the settings, you don't have to save them or anything, although it is asking me. Although it's not, didn't actually speak that, but there's a bit of a message come up says I need a reload. Okay, so I press
escape.
Escape.
Reloading calendar to apply.
Before
your
you're resetting that, Sharon, Jessica Beale just asked, "How was the how did you turn on the shortcuts? Was that control forward slash?"
They were turned on in Gmail. So
oh,
when
okay.
I was talking about Gmail last week, the control, it was control forward slash was for. A list of shortcuts that comes up, but the I actually switched on keyboard shortcuts in Gmail originally. Okay. And I'll just
press
F5 to reload. And escape.
Google Calendar dot escape. Escape. Main region.
Okay, in your own time. Google Calendar. Okay. Right. Creating a calendar event. So we can press C. If you remember from last week, C will compose a new email, C will create a new folder or file in the drive, and C will create a new calendar entry in the Google Calendar. And the first thing you type in is the title of the event. So I'm just going to put test. And then we can tab.
Save button to activate.
It's a save button, but we don't need the save button. You'll love how we save it in a moment.
Start date edit 23/7/2020. Type in text.
Now, putting in the dates and times in Google Calendar is not how you'd think it would work. So I'm on the start date, so I can go, you think you can go up and down.
24/7/2020.
But if I go up, it goes to the 24th and it actually stops talking to me as well, which is not very helpful. So
escape.
I would actually just type in the date here. So if I said, gosh, next Wednesday,
30 slash,
which is the last day in September, is a week today. Would you believe it? So I just typed in the date. 30/09/2020.
Start time edit 14:30. Type in text.
And again, unfortunately, with the time, if I start arrowing
14,
it actually doesn't read out. It does drop down a list, but the screen reader, it doesn't support a screen reader. So escape. Let's just
get rid of it.
And I will press
1:04.
Gosh, what are we going to do at 2 o'clock next week? Question.
End time edit 15:00. Type in text.
So automatically puts it in as an hour. That's in your settings as well. I didn't go that far in the settings, but you can change what your default meeting duration is. So you could have it 15 minutes or whatever you need it to be.
15:30. End date edit 30/7/2020. Time zone button to activate. Press space bar.
And then we have everything like
all day checkbox not checked.
All day. So I can check that with a space bar if it was going to be an all day meeting.
Recurrence list with 7 items doesn't repeat. Recurrence list with 7 items daily. 2 of 7.
Now this,
removed weekly on Wednesday.
This drop down list does work. So I can do
daily,
it repeating every day.
Weekly on Wednesday. Monthly on the last Wednesday. Annually on September 30th.
Weekly
daily doesn't repeat. Enter recurrence list with 4.
We also have the ability to add guests. So I can invite people to this meeting. I can invite people that aren't in Google, but I'll just show you what I can do here. If I tab to guests, I think it's the next bit.
Tab, guest tab selected, 1 of 1.
I tab again.
Tab panel, guest edit combo expanded. To set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value.
So I can invite. I can start typing an email address, or I have a few people here in my list.
List box. Stuart Lawler, Stuart.Lawler at SightandSound.
And this is mainly from kind of emails that I've sent and things like that, because I haven't actually set up a contacts list for this Google account, but it starts kind of gathering recipients from those that you've communicated with on email.
Salians@gmail.com.
Now here's another Gmail account. This is my own Gmail account. So if I added me.
Enter guest edit combo collapsed. To set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value.
And then what I can do, if I have another Gmail account or another Gmail address, that is actually shared as well. They've shared their calendar with me. So I did that previously. I can now tab.
Guests invited to this event. Preview. Sestireland@gmail.com. Organizer.
Find out who's invited.
Mark Sestire. Removed. Suggested times button menu. Press space to activate the menu. Then navigate with arrow keys.
So I can do suggested times. And what it will do is we'll look at times that are available on both our calendars. So if I press the space bar.
Space context menu to navigate, press up or down arrow. 30 Sep 2020 14:30 30 Sep 2020 15:00. All participants can attend. 30 Sep 2020 15:30. All participants can attend.
So yeah, so it can it'll tell me if maybe I wanted to change the time to 3:00 or something. Yep, everybody's still available on suggested times. But like I say, for that to actually come up, that option of suggested times, it has to be another Google Calendar that has been shared. And to share your calendars, I won't go through it now unless someone really wants me to, but you go back into the settings and go down through there. And so I had to actually do that on my other account in order for the Sight and Sound Island account to be able to look at suggested times. Okay. And there's also other, you can add a location, you can do your notifications, you can have your alarm that tells you when you're available, and it tells you that a meeting is coming up, and you can say whether you want to be seen as busy or not. Okay, to save this, I actually do Control S, like you're going to save a file. So Control S.
Control S. Would you like to send invitation emails to Google Calendar guests?
And it does ask me if I want to send an invitation because I've invited somebody. So I can press enter.
Main region tab panel suggested times button menu. Press space to activate the menu. Then navigate with it.
And if I'm not sure where I am, I can press T.
T. Main region grid. When meeting controls to move to an item, press it. Google Calendar dash schedule site and deliver job meeting controls.
Okay. And I've lost my Zoom meeting controls. Carl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I'm hiding.
Okay. Yeah. It's just my Zoom meeting controls disappeared there.
That might be Stuart. Because he didn't give me any, and now he has.
Don't blame me for that. Shit. We're all going absolutely fine here.
It's definitely Stuart.
I love you too, Carl.
So, maybe stop at that point. We've had a look at our calendar, and we've had a look at how to create an event. Any questions there, Carl, before I move on?
Just a quick one. Ali has asked, could you explain again the difference between the T and D shortcuts?
T and D. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair enough. okay, so T is for today.
T.
Oh.
Task switching. Sure Google Calendar dash schedule Google starting calendar. Wednesday.
So T will take us to today. D is one of the view shortcuts. So D is for day. So you have A for agenda, D for day, if you want to see a day at a time on the screen, W for week, and M for month. Let me just show you actually. So if I did D for day.
Google Calendar dash Wednesday, 23 September 2020.
And if you're just using a screen reader, this it's not going to make much difference, just that the agenda view is more accessible with a screen reader, But it just has your meetings in it. It doesn't have any blank days in it. So I think that's quite efficient. W for week.
W, main region, grid, Sunday, 20 September, column header.
And Sunday is the first day of the week this week. I think you can change that as well in the settings. And M for month.
Google Calendar dash September 2020, main region, grid, Sunday, column.
So A for agenda, and then there's D, day, W, week, and M for month. They're the view shortcuts, whereas T is just to bring us back. Whatever view we're on, T should bring us back. Well, we're already on it, actually, I think.
No events, Sunday, no events, Sunday, 6th, no events, Sunday, 13th, September, contains controls.
Where are we now? This is for September.
T, Sunday, column header.
There we go. That just illustrates my point that it doesn't work so well in other views. So A for agenda.
Google Calendar dash schedule starting Wednesday, 23 September 20.
T for today.
10:00 to 10:30. Weekly staff meet column 2. Wednesday, column 201. 14:00 to 15:30. Webinar Wednesday, colon, let me check.
That's definitely today because it's going to say, let me check my diary. So any other questions, Carl?
When I remember to turn my mic back on.
No, you're just doing that to make me feel better, aren't you?
Yeah, I know, exactly. I'm trying to keep up. How accessible is it if looking at shared calendars, e.g. in an office setting, from Linda?
Right, okay. If I wanted to look at a shared calendar, okay, this is cool. Thanks for that. I can do the plus sign. So if I want to add someone else's calendar into my view, as well as this Sight and Sound Island calendar, I can press the plus sign.
Plus, drawer navigation calendar September 2020, previous month, next month, September 2020, okay. Calendar list terms and dash privacy, search region, edit combo collapsed, to set the value, use the arrow keys.
Yes, okay, thank you, yours. And what happened there was because it brought me over to a side panel. And it has a little kind of mini calendar on it, and so it started reading that. So we're in an edit box now, and I'm going to type in
salians@gmail.com.
So that's my other Google account, and I'll press enter.
Edit combo collapsed. To set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value. Loading.
And I'm just going to press escape because I'm still in the search edit box. So if I press escape. That's strange. Let's try that again.
Plus. Edit combo collapsed. To set the value, use the arrow.
Start typing.
Salians@g. Enter. Edit combo collapsed. To set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value. Loading.
Okay.
Escape.
Okay, that didn't happen earlier.
Plus, edit combo collapsed.
Salient
enter.
Maybe?
Edit combo collapsed. To set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value. Loading.
If in doubt, reload F5. The page. No, that didn't work either. Sorry about that. Okay, visually.
Plus, drawer navigation. Google Calendar. Main region. Whoa, language and region edit. Type of escape. Google Calendar dash.
Plus,
drawer navigate, list, enter, edit, combo, collapsed, set.
When I entered on the shared calendar, so I put in someone's email address, which was my Google account, and I pressed enter, and it has actually now put in some more appointments on the calendar from my own calendar, from the SAH Lions. And what it's done is it's visually, it's got them in and it says busy. So it has the times and it has busy. That's because when I shared my calendar, I could choose how much of the calendar the person I shared it with can see. So you can choose whether they can see the details of your appointments or whether they can just see whether you're free or busy. Sorry, I can't actually show you that with the screen reader. That's a bit strange. I'm sure I did this earlier. There's maybe something I'm missing.
Salians at Gmail, September 2020, grid, Wednesday, column 3OT, main region,
oh,
grid, Wednesday,
okay.
23.
What I had to do was, because I was stuck in that edit box, I had to just get out of it. So I just did a kind of shift tab. Now,
0610 to 0615, busy, calendar, colon, salians at gmail.com, accepted, no location, column 201, 10:00 to 10:30, weekly staff meeting, Sharon Live, 14:00 to 15:30, webinar Wednesday, colon, let me check the diary, 21:30 to 21:35, busy, calendar, colon, salians at gmail.com.
So there you go. So it's kind of reading out my appointments and the appointments on the SAH Lions, or Salians, as it likes to call me. But it's just saying busy. I think they're just reminders that I have at the beginning and the end of the day, actually, so they're not very interesting, even if you could see the details. So that's shared calendars.
Wendy, while you're just going through that shared section, Sharon, Wendy Mitchell's just asked, so can I share my two Google accounts to one calendar?
Yes, absolutely.
There you go, that was an easy one. I've got a couple of hands now, so if you bear me 2 seconds.
Okay.
Mr. Lawler, this one's for you. Derry.
Hi, how are you keeping? Are you well?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Derry.
Hi, Sharon. Great. I love the Google Calendar. A quick question. In Dayview, say you're on the phone and somebody wants to see if you're free for an appointment on Friday. So if you arrowed right to Friday, will it tell you if you have anything busy or not busy? Quickly,
no, not... Yeah, Derry, that not... not very well. I would tend to just use a gender view, and I mean the month view was actually better. Do you want me to try it? Actually,
yeah, please. Just
Google Calendar dash September.
So I'm in the month view here. So I press M for month view, and what I can do is I can press G.
Go to date dialog.
Go
date
to
25th.
Yeah.
25 / /0
September.
Enter main region grid Sunday column header 6 events.
Yeah, that didn't work. When it's in a month view, it starts in the top left hand corner, which is actually the 30th of August, and then you arrow down left and right. I can
Step
actually get
events,
to
Sunday 20 September contains
25th.
Controls.
So here I am on Sunday the 20th. So I arrowed down to Sunday the 20th, and then I could arrow across to 25th.
Monday, column 1, row 4. 4 events. Monday, 21 September. Tuesday, 2 events. Tuesday, Wednesday, 4 events. Wednesday, 23. Thursday,
eventually.
2 events. Friday, 4 events. Friday, 25
Friday,
September. Contain controls.
Well, that's actually the other calendar that's busy.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so let me just
Thursday,
see.
Friday, 4 events. Friday, 25 September contains controls.
Okay, but it's not really reading what the events are. Yeah, so I'd say agenda
A,
view
Google
is the way
calendar
forward.
Dash schedule starting Friday,
and
20
T for today.
Google calendar dash schedule starting.
Yeah, it's getting a bit confusing because I've got somebody else's calendar in there.
Of course.
I'd stick with the agenda view. If I did the agenda view and then did G,
go to date dialog, date edit 23/5/09/0, enter Google Calendar dash schedule starting Friday 25 September 2020, main region grid Friday 25 September,
and then I'd arrow
link,
down
all day busy, column 201 0610 to 0615. Busy calendar colon salians at gmail.
Yeah, I'd have to wait and hear which calendar
it
was.
That's better actually.
Does that make sense?
That's much better.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think that actually, thanks, Derry. That kind of that proves that the agenda is the right choice still.
It is.
Thank
you. Great stuff.
No problem. Cheers. Thanks, Derry.
All right. Keep muting and unmuting myself. Right, just 1 second. Let's get rid of that hand. Dunk, dunk, dunk. Next one, Mr. Bates. Edward.
Hello, Carl. Hello, everybody. Hi.
How are you, mate?
Oh, yeah, I'm all right. Thanks. This is really interesting so far. I often use Outlook. Now, when I've done that before, I've got a question. Say if you sent me an email and I was using my Google Calendar instead of Outlook, for example.
Yeah.
So If you sent me a calendar invite on Outlook, I can say whether I can attend, whether I can maybe attend, whether I can't attend. Mm-hmm. I can then click on that. Yeah. Is there such a thing like that in Google? And saying that also, if I was to make an event, it then tells me if somebody's accepted the event. So do you get notifications for both of those? If you can firstly accept the notification yourself, and secondly, if other people can accept the invitation that you send out. Does that make sense, that question?
Yes. Yes, is the answer to that question. So in Gmail, I can, yeah. So in my Gmail, I will get a yes and maybe and a no button that I can tab to and respond. I think I invited Stuart to some meeting from a Gmail. Did you get that, Stuart?
I did, and I'm waiting to respond to it when I do my little demo because I want to show.
Oh, okay. How there it we all go. Works.
So I will respond to you, Sharon. Don't worry.
I just wanted to check that. I'm pretty sure it does anyway. You know, it's a meeting, and it will respond. You can respond to the invitation, whatever email you send it to. It's just that if you wanted to know what someone had on their calendar in the Google calendar, it would have to be another Google account to do that.
Oh, okay.
So you wouldn't be able to look at what's on their calendar, and you wouldn't be able to look at the suggested times and things like that. Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that's
great.
Good.
Great.
Yeah.
Great question.
Thank you. That's really good. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Oh, miles away then.
The people that attend these webinars are so cool.
I was in cloud cuckoo land then. Right, Megan Paul, all yours. You need to unmute yourself, Megan.
Thank you very much. I've just unmuted myself. Hi.
Hi.
So I have some questions more about sort of Google in general. I mean, it's disappointing how inaccessible it is, especially because it's Google with JAWS. So first thing is about whenever I go into Google recently, I have a thing that comes up a lot, which says verify it's you, and it's got change language, and it's got a next button. It's got the email address I'd like to sign in with, and a next button that I cannot get into at all.
Oh,
I wondered if either of you two had had, I mean, I have got quite a lot of Google accounts that I sign in and out of. So whether you've had that, and if it's something to do with the browser, maybe.
Do you use Google Chrome or?
No, I'm using, well, IE and Firefox are the two that I tend to use.
IE.
The one suggestion I have is to try it as a private browsing tab. That way it won't know who you are. And it won't know there's any other previous accounts. I'm a bit weird.
And I can just start again.
Yeah, I
don't actually, would you believe, I don't have a Google account. I'm not what? By design. I've just never had one. I've never had a Gmail address in my life.
I've never had an iCloud.
And there's the where you change to the calendar view and things like that. Is that in your main settings panel?
Yeah, it's just in the main screen in Google Calendar. Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Actually, yeah, I mean, the accessibility issues, I mean, we could see we're going in and out of the virtual cursor last week. It actually works quite well in Google Calendar, maybe it's just because it's a bit simpler. I haven't had to go in and out of the virtual cursor at all today. So that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and also if you know anything about Google Calendar and the iPhone as well, it'd be great.
When it comes to mobile phones, because I obviously have my calendar on my phone and I have an Android phone, and I actually use a calendar app called A Calendar. So I don't actually use the Google Calendar app, but I think you can use the Google Calendar app on the iPhone or any calendar app, if it's, I'm sure, that then it just, you just kind of sign in, you add a calendar and it just all syncs and all works from there, you know.
Okay.
I don't know, Stuart, you might know a bit more about the accessibility on an iPhone of different calendars.
My understanding is that, as you said, there's Google, the Google Calendar app. There's one called Fantastical, which a lot of people use.
Fantastical.
Yeah. And then there's the plain old calendar app on iOS, which is the one I actually use.
Okay.
But I have never connected a Google account to it. And obviously, Google doesn't now support Active Sync for new accounts. In other words, it's not like Microsoft Exchange. So I don't actually know how that works in a Google Calendar. Maybe someone who's on the webinar who's using a Google Calendar with their iPhone might be able to tell us that, because it's not something I have done. But Google used to support the Microsoft Exchange or Active Sync protocol, and they stopped that a few years ago. So now it's not as straightforward to do it natively, I think.
Oh, okay. I did kind of look up because like I say, you just add a calendar and it all kind of just works. I did look up about syncing calendars and just read what to do, and it pretty much said, yeah, just add your calendar.
Yeah, I think you can do it. I'm just not sure how it all connects.
Yeah, interesting.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Megan.
No problem, Megan.
Right, that's Megan. Another quick one from the chat. I might have missed a couple. Norman's asked, how do you stop sharing a calendar?
How do you stop sharing? You go back into the settings where you actually shared it, and you just cancel it, I think.
Just do everything in reverse of what you did the first time.
I mean, I could go in, it gets a little bit complicated, but yeah, you kind of go through the settings and it says, you know, who you share your calendar with, and you just cancel it. Yeah.
Right, we're just going to go to David Halliwell. Now, I wonder if this is my old mate, David. If you can unmute yourself, Mr. Halliwell.
I think David's been a pretty regular Webinar Wednesday attendee, Carl, so it possibly is.
Oh. Good afternoon, friends.
Hi, David.
Hello.
Are you Carl's old mate?
We go back, let's just say. Leave it there.
We want to hear the stories.
No, you don't.
So here's the thing. As a result of a misspent youth, I feel that my brain doesn't retain things as it should. So calendars are something that are really important.
Yes.
I use Office 365. Mm-hmm. I use a Polaris.
Right.
And I use an iPhone. Can I get them all to show me all the calendars, all the same things, all the time?
Yes. 100% yes. Because you're on the same calendaring platform. You're on Office 365. That's the core.
So right.
That's your central place. The Polaris will use Active Sync, as will the iPhone. So yes is the answer.
So on my phone, do I use the native calendar apps, or do I need... Okay.
You can use Fantastical or anything else that maybe you've played with before, if you particularly like a calendar, but you can use the native app. You can set it up in settings, configure the account, and then you can tick, if you just want your calendar to sync for that account, just select calendar. You don't have to have mail or contact synchronizing if you don't want. And on the Polaris, you can do the same thing under Android system settings. You can set up an account and select the calendar. And then that will come up in the organizer on the Polaris.
It hurt my brain trying to formulate that question and articulate it in a way that I could even understand.
Well,
but that's a great answer.
You've done it perfectly.
Thank you. Excellent.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, David. Thank you.
Thanks,
Carl. If you need a hand with that, David, just let us know.
Bless you. Of course I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, we just one quick. Wendy's asked, I have my Tesco shopping account connected to my calendar. So as soon as I check the shopping. Oh, it's not really a question. It's just actually a statement.
That's great,
automatically adds it to her calendar. There you go. That was brilliant. Thank you for that, Wendy. Eleanor, how do you check that you've reached the bottom of the page and not overlooked an appointment?
It would go on to the next day, I guess.
See. Google Calendar dash schedule starting Wednesday, 23 September 2020.
I think if I've understood the question correctly, so I can arrow down.
06:10 to 06:15, column 201. 14:00 to 15:30, webinar Wednesday, colon, 21:30 to 21:35.
That's
busy calendar, Thursday, 24 September link.
Yeah, so it goes on to the next day.
Excellent. That's that one. Angela's just said Google Calendar on Android is very accessible. We've got Michael Cassidy. If you've synced your Google Calendar with your Outlook and Outlook is synced with iCloud, you might be successful.
The only thing about that is you do need something to manage the Google sync between Outlook and Google. And that's not, unfortunately, straightforward. It used to be easier. There is an app called Google Suite. I think it's called Google Sync for Google Suite. But Google Suite is used by corporates and universities. It will not work for personal Gmail accounts, unfortunately. So whilst you can use the Google Calendar in Microsoft Outlook, you can't really do anything else with it because you can't get it anywhere else.
Like on your iPhone.
Kind of thing. Google will sync mail and it will sync notes, but it won't sync contacts and calendars natively on Microsoft Outlook, unfortunately. There probably are ways to do it and there are applications, but the problem is they'll last for a certain amount of time and then Google plug the hole, or Microsoft plug the hole, one of them do, and the app stops working. So unless you're on a paid corporate Google account, you won't be able to sync properly with Outlook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I mean, yeah, okay. It's a bit off, isn't it? But, yeah, Google Suite, I mean, once you get into Google Suite, there's loads of stuff
you can do. It's huge, yeah.
Bloody yeah.
Google.
Yeah.
And their world, and their world domination. Dadnammit. Right, we have one more question, and I do apologise for the pronunciation of this name, your name. Jayachandran. You need to unmute yourself if you can, please. I do apologise if you can.
Am I audible?
Oh, there
hello.
We go. Brilliant.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
This is Jayachandran from India. Hi.
Hi.
The session started now itself or earlier itself started actually?
2 o'clock.
Just now or what actually? It's 2 o'clock in London, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just now it has started.
It's actually 3 o'clock.
No,
nearly.
It's now 3 o'clock in the UK.
I see. It's 5:30 plus 5:30. I thought, okay. Sorry, some calculations. Just now I came in, actually. Okay.
Whether it is recorded, possible? Though. It is recorded, so you can.
Where we can get the recording?
Yeah, it'll go onto YouTube.
It'll be on YouTube and our podcast page by tomorrow.
YouTube channel, name of the YouTube channel is?
If you just do a search for Sight and Sound Technology. On YouTube, you'll get our channel.
Make sure you put technology.
Could you please repeat it? Sight.
Sight and Sound Technology.
SIGHT SAND.
Yep.
Sight and Sound Technology.
That's it.
Sight and Sound.
Yeah, Sight and Sound. SOUND. Sound.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Then. Thank you.
You're very welcome, by the way.
I'm welcome from India. I think you're one of the first.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You get a prize for coming all the way.
Now the session is going to end, right?
Oh, no, we've got another half hour or so.
We'll keep going for a while, yeah.
It will go for another half an hour.
Awesome.
At least, yeah. Minimum.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, we're all caught up, Sharon. Back to you.
Wow, India. That's so cool. I think that's me done, actually. I was just having a look through my notes to see if there was anything, any other gems. But I think we covered it all in questions and stuff. So, yeah, if I think of anything in the next half hour, I'll let you know. Okay.
Okay, thanks, Sharon.
I better stop sharing my screen. That might help.
So I'm going to look at Microsoft Outlook and Microsoft Office 365 specifically. And we're going to look at how calendaring works, very similar to what Sharon has done. The one thing I will say that the Microsoft web application of this is not anything as accessible as what Sharon showed you on the Google side. So don't, I really do not advise using the calendar on the web. But if you have Outlook, Microsoft Outlook, and if you have a version of Office 365 or a subscription to Office 365, or if you use this in the workplace, then this really is the way to go. Now, Microsoft Office, Office 365, from a corporate perspective, has all the functionality that Sharon has mentioned already in the Google Suite. So you can share calendars, you can look at other people's calendars, and you can schedule things with other people and find out when people are free and are busy, etc. There are some anomalies that I will point out as we go along. I suppose Microsoft is always changing these things. A lot of it is linked to cloud services, which themselves are always changing. And then there are some accessibility glitches that come up every so often. Many of these are not actually screen reader specific. They're just the way in which Microsoft passes information to the assistive technology. And you'll see that in a second. So I'm going to share my screen, and then I'm going to go into Microsoft Outlook. So let me just share my audio.
Screen share, Zoom webinar.
Hopefully you can hear JAWS. So I'm now going to go to Microsoft Outlook.
JAWS, IFM, Google, Outlook, Zoom, General One, Remind, Meeting, Inbox, Stuart.
And we did get I have received one or two emails in the last hour, which I will refer to at the end of this little piece, because I know there's a few questions specific to calendaring in Outlook. I'm in the inbox in Outlook, if we just ask JAWS where we are.
Inbox, Stuart, Lawler, Site and Sound Technology, eOutlook.
And I'm going to use a shortcut. Sharon will be pleased to hear I'm using lots of shortcuts today. The first one in Outlook is to go to a folder, to jump to a particular folder. I'm going to press Alt and Y.
Go to folder dialog.
And I'm going to press C for calendar.
Calendar closed.
And I'm going to press Enter.
Stuart, Lawler, Site and Sound Technology, eDayview, Dayview, three total events.
I'm going to stop it talking for a sec.
Jayachandran, he has lower.
Just as Sharon mentioned, there's a lot of different views, and the same can be said here in the Outlook calendar. I hover between Dayview and Monthview, and I want to show you the difference between them. Dayview is a little bit, for me anyway, is a little bit verbose. Let's see what happens when we go through the days of the week. So tomorrow, for example, I want to know what I have on. I'm currently on my day on Wednesday, which is today. If I press the right arrow, it'll move me forward to Thursday. And if I press the left arrow, it would move me back to Tuesday. So let's press the right arrow.
Dayview, zero total events. Dayview.
Now, this is a classic symptom of the Dayview view, or the day view. Sometimes it tells me there's zero events, but I know there's events tomorrow because Carl and I are doing something tomorrow. So I'll try this again.
Dayview, zero total. Dayview, zero total events.
Okay, it just does not want to tell me.
Dayview, four total events, 1500 hours to 1530 Thursday.
There we go. There's four events tomorrow. I can press the tab key here to hear what they are.
Session 1, Intro 2, Students with Low Vision.
And the tab key will bring me through these events, or at least should bring me through these events when I tab forward and back. So the day view doesn't always work the way it is advertised. But the other view that I quite like is the month view. And the month view formats the screen in a different way. And reads a little bit better. Now, I had to close my calendar there because Outlook has done funny things. So I'm going
Stuart.
To. Yeah.
Stuart. Can I just say, do you know there's a quick way to get to your calendar?
I never use those ones. Control and something, isn't it?
Control 2. Control 1 for email, Control 2 for calendar.
I'm a bit of a Luddite like that, Sharon.
You like but your that, folder
but,
list.
But they're good. That's a good point. Control 2 for the calendar, Control 1 for mail. Right. I'm going to try changing the view now. So Control, Alt, and 4 will bring me into what's called month view.
Calendar Stuart. Lawler.
And just listen to what happens now.
Thursday, 24 September 2020. Four events, four busy. Friday, 25 September 2020. One event, one busy.
Straight away, it's a much nicer experience, right? So now if I hit the tab key on Friday, I should hear my appointment, and unfortunately my calendar has decided to stop working again. Apologies for this. This did happen yesterday and didn't happen this morning. What normally happens in that case is that it reads the appointment. I'm going to try this again. So I'm going to go back to Friday in the month view.
Thursday, Friday, Polaris training, 10 o'clock to 1400 hours, Friday, 25 September 2020. Time busy, location Kusan National School, Kusan Point Road, Athlone.
So there's telling me that I have an appointment on Friday from 10 o'clock to 1400 hours and that it's been marked as busy, so I'm not available. Now, I'll go back with my left arrow to Thursday. We're still in month view, by the way. And I'm just refreshing my calendar view again. So what will happen in month view is there's four appointments on Thursday, and JAWS will, because we're in month view and they're formatted differently on the screen, JAWS can only see the first few. So not all the appointments are visible to JAWS. Sorry about Carl this, Gray. By the way, my Outlook.
Go to full calendar.
This is not a great advertisement for the Outlook calendar.
Stuart Lawler Sighton.
Okay, so basically, arrowing left and right will bring you through the days of the week.
Thursday, 24 September 2020, four events.
We know there are four events here if we hit the tab key. Outlook is not reading those, so I'm not going to try that anymore. I'm going to go on ahead and create a new event and show you how that works. The Outlook calendar, when you get your head around it, is really, really good. Although I tend to find I enter a lot of my appointments in on my phone because it's sometimes quicker to check, you know, for example, whether you're free or not on a particular time. So let's get back to the calendar.
Button, show unread emails button, nudge. Go
and
to
I'm going to create calendar. An event because I want to have a meeting
button, show unread
with
calendar.
Carl and Sharon next week, and I want to talk about the future of Webinar Wednesday. Very serious conversation. So I'm going to try and have it on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So I'm going to press Control and N. There's a couple of things I could do here, by the way. I could arrow over to Tuesday to start my meeting on that day. I could press Control and G, which would allow me to go to a particular date, very like what Sharon did earlier on in the Google Calendar. Or I can just press Control and N and enter the necessary information here. So that's what I'm going to do and quickly bring you through the resulting dialogue that appears. So I'm creating a new event or a new appointment, and then JAWS will...
Untitled appointment, title edit.
So title, so I'm just going to say Webinar Wednesday Future Meeting.
Webinar Wednesday Future Meeting Appointment, start date edit, web 23/09/2020.
So I want to start it. Now I can press the arrow
start
keys
date edit through 24
to move through the dates here. So
start date edit mon 28, start date edit 2/29/09/2020.
I could press the arrow keys or I could have pressed, I could just type in the date manually either if I wanted. So I'm starting it on Tuesday the 29th.
Date picker.
And there is a date picker option here if you want, so you can open a visual picker, I suppose.
Start time edit, 8 o'clock.
I'm going to put this meeting in for 10:30. I'm just going to type this in to be quicker. 10:30.
Time zone for meeting start edit combo, Dublin, Edinburgh, Lisbon.
And then you have the option to choose the time zone. Well, we're in Dublin time, so we'll stick with that.
End date edit, 2/29.
It's going to end on the same date, on the 29th.
Date picker. End time.
And it's going to end at 11:15. We're going to take 45 minutes to talk about Webinar Wednesday.
Time zone for meeting end edit combo.
The time zone is the same.
All day checkbox not checked.
All day. It's not an all day event. If it was, it would block off the entire day from midnight on Tuesday to midnight, from midnight on Monday to midnight on Tuesday, but it's not an all day event.
Time zones checkbox checked. Alt Z.
And
make recurring button, Alta.
I can make this a recurring meeting. So if we decide that we want to meet every month to to talk about Webinar Wednesday, I can tick this button and go in and select how often this meeting will take place. In this case, I don't want to do that for now.
Location button. Edit, location, edit.
This is, there's two options here. There's a location button. If I press enter here, the list of available locations to me will pop up, and that will be based on what's available within the organization I'm in, i.e. Sight and Sound. So for example, the boardroom in our main office in the UK might come up. There's a couple of other meeting rooms I think that are available. But in our case, we're just gonna meet online. I could make this a Microsoft Teams meeting if I wanted by clicking the Microsoft Teams option in Microsoft Outlook. But for now, I'm just going to say the location is telephone. So I'll just type in telephone and I'll hit the tab key.
Location edit. Location edit.
And sometimes with Outlook, because it location. Has these little funny things,
blank,
you have
edit.
To tab twice.
Blank.
And now I'm in the notes field of the meeting where I would type some text.
Blank.
You don't have to, but I'm just going to say, hi, Carl and Sharon. Please, can we meet this week to talk about WW, Webinar Wednesday. Now, I need to do a few things here. So I need to, first of all, add Carol and Sharon to this meeting. So I'm going to press the Alt key.
Upper ribbon, ribbon, appointment tab.
And I'm going to tab over to invite attendees. There are also shortcuts for these things.
Leaving upper rib for Skype meeting button. Leaving menus, leaving ribbons.
So I'm just
leaving
going to tab
upper
here.
Forward. Attendees, invite attendees button not checked.
And an invite attendees button, it's not actually a tick box. Sometimes these things are read as slightly funny, but I'm going to press the space bar
leaving
here
menus.
To invite attendees.
Webinar Wednesday, required edit.
And there are two types of presence, I suppose, at a meeting. There is the required people. That's the people who are absolutely need to be here. So I'm going to type in Carl's name. I'm going to start typing Carl's name, and it should hopefully, Outlook should automatically enter him.
Carl Braley.
There we go. And I'm going to type Sharon, and Sharon should be entered.
Sharon Lyons.
Okay, and then if you tab once, it says
optional edit.
Optional. So these are people who, yeah, it would be useful if they came, but if they can't, it doesn't matter. So we'll just put an optional person in as let's just say we'll put in James Everson. Ask him would he consider joining us.
Stuart, you could add in
James
the
Everson.
The Gmail account.
Add in the Gmail account. Perfect.
SAST Ireland.
And I think it should pop up because I had it from before.
Sharon Lyons says Ireland Gmail.
There we go. So Sharon Lyons is optional on the SAST one. Now, I actually want to know before I send this, well, are these guys free at this time? I could go in and look at their calendars, and I'll do that in a sec, but I don't want to do that right now. I just want to get this done and send this meeting notification out straight away. I'm going to use something called the Scheduling Assistant, and I'm going to say straight off that this was definitely more accessible a couple of years ago. In fact, I would argue that Outlook 2013 probably gave us a much better level of access to a maybe more efficient way to use the calendar than does 2016 or 2019. And that's not screen reader necessary, screen reader specific. That's just because Microsoft have made changes to the UI and all screen readers seem to struggle with some of this stuff. So what you're going to see is not going to be hugely accessible, but the key thing it will do is help us find a time when we're all available. To open the scheduling assistant, I'm going to press Alt and X.
Upper ribbon, ribbon, scheduling assistant tab.
And I'm going to hit the tab key.
Leaving menus, type to search and use the up and down arrows keys to navigate submenu. Edit. Edit, upper ribbon, scheduling assistant, scheduling, refresh availability button. Leaving menus, ribbon tabs, tab, upper rib. Attendees, add attendees
okay.
button. Menu, auto pick submenu.
Now, these are these funny little idiosyncrasies. So yesterday when I did this, it told me that there was conflicts, and I'm pretty certain there are conflicts because I think Sharon is busy next Tuesday. So let me see, can I find that
refresh
there's a conflict?
Refresh availability, leaving menus, ribbon tabs, tab expanded, type to search and use the up and down arrows keys to navigate submenu, edit, menu, appointment, leaving menu. upper ribbon, scheduling assistant tab.
So what should happen is it tells me that there is a conflict. So I'm just going to say auto pick the next
upper
one.
Ribbon, scheduling assistant, scheduling menu, auto pick sub leaving menus, required people checked, alt followed by X,
and
OPR.
So you can choose here, do you want a slot that includes the required people?
Required people and one resource, alt followed by X, a PE.
Required people and one resource. So a resource, for example, would be a meeting room or something like that. But I'm just going to press enter on required people and hope that that does something. So what will happen at this point is that it will
leaving menus.
Populate
leaving ribbons. All attendees status 01/10/2020, 8:45. Zero conflicts. All attendees. Send button.
So it actually told me there was no conflicts.
Edit 8 o'clock. Time zone.
But it
meeting.
Has changed the meeting time.
Date picker.
To
start,
be
start time edit through 01/10/2020.
The 1st of October at 8 a.m. So that's the next time that it has picked that we're all available. So I could send this meeting request at this time for us all to meet at 8 a.m. But I'm not going to send that one. I just wanted to show you guys how it works. Now, if you were to do this on your phone, on iOS certainly, and based on the comment that we got, I think, from somebody earlier on who said that the Android calendar on Android is very accessible, this would be, I actually think, far more straightforward because it will tell you straight away if somebody is free or not. The only caveat here, of course, is the person has to be within your organization. So if I sent Sharon a Gmail, if I sent this to Sharon's Gmail, for example, it wouldn't be able to tell me whether she's free or not because it doesn't have access to Sharon's Gmail account. So this Outlook, Microsoft and Outlook is really good as long as everyone you're communicating with in this respect is in the Microsoft ecosystem, and in this case that they're inside your organization. If you have somebody using Microsoft who's outside of your organization,
oh my god, open your bloody own,
try to get their availability, that won't work. So the last thing I
want to
do is just show how you can how you can check somebody else's calendar or look at someone else's calendar in Outlook.
Don't save changes.
So
radio.
I've got a little dialogue here that says, what do you want to do? I'm going to say, don't save changes,
okay,
and press OK.
Alt E. Calendar.
And I'm back in my calendar view. Now, I'm going to open somebody else's calendar. In this case, I'm going to open Sharon's calendar. Sharon and I work in the same team at Sight and Sound. So we have full access to each other's calendar. In other words, Sharon can see what I'm doing and I can see what Sharon is doing. And in many cases, because Sharon is on the road and I'm not on the road as much, I'm a bit more desk-based, I will quite frequently take phone calls or be talking to somebody and I'm scheduling things in for Sharon and myself. And indeed, in some cases, I'm scheduling things in for Sharon only. And in that instance, it's very important for me not only to be able to see her calendar, but to be able to put appointments in for her. And they just pop up for her on her phone. So that's a really, really handy feature. You can do this from within the home ribbon in the calendar. So I'm going to press Alt and H and quickly tab to this, and then I will give you the shortcut for how to do it as well. So we go to the home ribbon. I may have to reload my calendar again because it has stopped talking. While I'm doing that, though, I will also say that you can share your calendar. So if you're, again, with people in the same organization, you can share your calendar to show different levels of information. So you might just want people to see whether or not you're available, or you can share that you have that you show all your status or what you're doing, in other words, title of the appointment and where it is, etc. Okay,
upper
I'm
ribbon. Leaving menus, task switching, calendar store, 61 total.
Okay, I'm hoping
upper
this is going to work.
Ribbon.
I'm having some technical issues with my screen reader today.
New item sub.
But I'm now in the home menu, and I'm going to tab along here. Very sorry about this, guys. My technology is not
leaving calendar store.
I'm just going to try this once more, and if it doesn't work, I'll talk through it and then we can go for questions, because this is not ideal listening for anybody.
And to be fair, Stuart, you do use this all the time. Right?
I live in it. I absolutely live in Outlook.
So it's unusual for it to.
But I do get frustrated with it sometimes as well. Mm. Yeah, my Outlook has stopped responding. So I'm going to I'll answer questions as best I can. I would say that, and I was only talking to someone the other day who's using 2013 and from a calendar perspective is having a better experience than I am, but I still use it because it actually does work.
Nicola Dixon raised
hand. It does work with my phone in particular. So apologies for that. I'm going to stop my screen share and try and reboot Outlook and then answer questions.
And I will apologize quickly because I didn't realize my mic was on after I was just telling my wife exactly where I'd put the brolly. And then she says, where's the brolly?
She's a lovely lady. I think we should get your wife on the webinar.
Honestly, I must have told her 10 times and it was right by her.
I couldn't understand your accent anyway, Carl. So.
No, that's fine. Right. Jessica Beale, I pressed Alt and Y, but nothing happens. Also, how do you change to month view? I'm not sure how far back that goes now.
Sorry, Jessica. Yeah, it's Control and Y. Sorry. So Control and Y will bring you into the folder list. And month view is Alt Control and number 4. Day view is Alt Control number 1. Week view is Alt Control and number 2. And work week view is Alt Control number 3. The difference between week and work week is that week shows you all 7 days, work week shows you the 5 days of the week, five working days. You can actually define what the working days are in the Outlook calendar options. So, for example, if you just worked a 3-day week, you could set that up in your calendar.
Excellent. Here's the first thing I mentioned. I really got Ed's just basically put, just for interest, Control and 1 is mail, Control and 2 is calendar, Control and 3 is contact, Control and 4 is to-do list, Control and 5 is notes. I don't use all of these, but the first three I've mentioned are really good, great way of toggling around when using Outlook.
Yeah, great one. By the way, I love the notes feature in Outlook as well.
Brilliant. I didn't even know it was there. Thanks for telling me. We need some lessons. Michael Cassidy has asked, I think that since the last 365, let me put my teeth back in, the last 365 update, Outlook has tended to hang more often. Has anyone else?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Michael. And in fact, I updated last Thursday, I think, to the latest Outlook. And yeah, it's definitely doing funny things in calendar. And I find myself, the last couple of appointments I've been slotting in, I've been using my phone because it's been much quicker. And they still sync anyway to Outlook.
Excellent. So we have one hand for you, sir. Okay. Nicola Dixon, you may unmute yourself.
Regular Webinar Wednesday attendee.
Hey. Hello.
Hi, Nicola. How are you?
Hi. I've got a quick question. Similar to David's, actually, I use Outlook for my emails, but I put a lot of my events on my calendar using my phone because I'm usually out and about with my phone. And what I want to know is, how do I actually sync my phone to my Outlook?
So are you using Office 365?
Unfortunately not. It's Office 2013, I think it is.
Okay, that might be okay. What are you using? What calendar? When you say you put stuff in your calendar on your phone, what's your phone connected to in terms
of? It's an iPhone, and I just use the calendar app. Which you can go down. Yeah. Got messages, calendar.
Yeah.
I use that calendar.
So it's probably syncing to iCloud.
Oh yes, probably. Yeah.
So that's okay. So you can use something called iCloud for Windows. Now there's a caveat here. Mm-hmm. It comes with a health warning, a big health warning, in my view. It is, when you open the app, you'll think it's completely inaccessible. But if you use the JAWS touch cursor, when you open the app, there's a little screen, there's a little setup screen, and basically it says to you, what do you want to sync? So what data from your iCloud account do you want to sync? So you'll sign in, first of all, to your iCloud account. And if you have two-step verification, you'll get a little code popped up on your phone that you'll have to enter.
Right.
And then after that, you tick the box for calendar. And it is a bit of messing around with the JAWS touch cursor to hear which box to tick. You only have to do that once, and then it will create an iCloud calendar folder in your Microsoft Outlook. So you would press Control and Y and press I, and you'd hear iCloud. And if you right arrow into iCloud, you'll see your calendar. You'll also see other things there. For example, if you opted to sync your contacts, you'll see your contacts there. And you can add appointments from Outlook, and they go into the iCloud calendar, or vice versa. And it's actually, I have it set up on my personal computer, and it's actually good once you get it to work.
Right. So I have to get the app. What's it called? iCloud for Windows.
iCloud for Windows. Yeah.
Well, I need to get that on my phone, or do I get that
just on the computer?
I'm just on the laptop.
I'm sort of saying all that, assuming that you have an iCloud account already and you're sort of set up for.
Yes, I've got an iCloud account.
You should be fine then. If you get it and you can't set it up, please just give us a shout. Give you a hand.
Thank you. Right. No, okay. Well, I'll think about that. I mean, it's not absolutely vital, but sometimes it sort of helps to have the two.
Yeah, it can be very handy.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Emil. Brilliant.
Thank you, Nicola. That's it for the moment, sir. Back to you.
Okay. So, I suppose all I would say is that the setup, just to talk a little bit about the setup from a mobile end, and it was interesting, some people were talking about things like the Polaris, for example, which is an Android system, and on iOS. So on iOS, if you go into Settings and go to Accounts, you can add your Microsoft account, and you will choose Microsoft Exchange, and then that will set up, once you enter your email address and your password, that will set up all the services that are associated with Microsoft Exchange. So calendar, email, contacts, and notes, and you can tick whichever ones of them you want to sync to your mobile device. On the iPhone, of course, it's quite straightforward. If you tap a particular day and then touch the bottom of the screen, the appointments for that day are in a little list, and you can flick between them and you can see the start and end time. And certainly for me at the moment, it's a little bit more efficient to access my calendar that way, and until they get these quirky things in Microsoft Outlook sorted out a little bit better. We did test this, by the way, with other screen readers yesterday, and we had similar results.
Brilliant.
So I don't know if there's any other questions, Carl, or if anybody else has anything.
Michael Cassidy just said, once set up, it works very well. iCloud should be obtained from the App Store. That's fine. Hilary Davies, I'm beginning to use a calendar on my iPhone like Stuart. Will you be giving any lessons on using this? There's the next one.
We certainly can talk about using the iPhone calendar specifically. We can do that as a session, perhaps. Look at mobile calendaring in general. In some ways, there's so much in just what we did today, but yeah, we certainly can. And just to go back to the previous query about the iCloud for Windows, that's a good point. I think you can get it. The easiest place might be to get it from the Windows Store. So for Nicola, if you go into the Windows Store and type out Windows, just type in Windows, iCloud for Windows, you should get it, or just iCloud even, we'll get it for you.
Excellent. Wendy just said, been using the iPhone calendar for a year now. I have a Samsung Galaxy phone, so maybe it would be quite a good idea for maybe Sharon, being the Google girl.
There you go, Sharon. Okay.
To go through the Samsung side, and Stuart push the iPhone side. And I think that would work really well.
That's interesting. Using an iPhone calendar.
Thank you for lining up the next session there, Carl. Much appreciated.
I've still got that other Google one to do.
Sharon's going to come back to Google. We have a World Site Day special. We've loads of stuff coming up.
No, it's excellent. Linux. We might have to carry on going weekly.
We might have to, yeah.
Right, Hilary, you do have your hand up as well. I'm not sure if it's the question you've already asked, so I will unmute you just for a second. If you'd like to unmute yourself, or fail in that, put one's hands down. Hilary?
What's that question?
Hi, Hilary.
It was that question.
Oh, it was. Okay, oh, brilliant. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks a million.
Okay, so now we're just going to move on to Raj. Raj, it's all yours.
Raj is a regular attendee as well, I think.
If you just need to unmute yourself, Raj. Are you there, Raj? We will move on.
You might just need to press the space bar or something. I think we have you.
Okay. Raj.
How are you, Raj? We have you.
Ah, great. Thank you. I'm great. Thank you, my friends. Thank
Good
you
to hear
so
you.
Much. I just a very simple question. You know, when you get an email with an invite from Microsoft Teams, I'm having sometimes difficulty in accepting or declining those meetings. And I just wonder how you do it. Is it F6 and F5?
My apologies. I should have shown that, and that's something I hopefully can show without the thing crashing again. So let me very quickly show you that. Yeah.
That's a great question.
And thank you for asking the question. Yeah. Just one second. We share this out. So, yes, Sharon sent me... Sharon sent me an info from her Google account earlier this morning.
Slower.
She wants me to attend a meeting next week.
Inbox Stuart,
so I'm going to just go and find this
account, yes, no button.
This Inbox. Meeting.
Carl, forward, reply, BM, reply, Olive,
I know it's
Carl,
up here Chris somewhere. Luke, it's an
Amy
unread
Hall,
message.
Reply, Greg, Pat, meeting. Meeting request unread. Attachment. Sisterland gmail.com. Invitation. Weekly staff meeting. Weekly from 10.
Now, what I normally do with these is you can do two things. You can press Shift and F10 and you can go in and there are some options and we'll come back to that in a sec. But what I normally do is I open the meeting invitation first. And the reason I do that is because I want to see, A, is there any notes
invitation
written in the actual email body?
Heading level 4, you have been invited to the following event.
Now, in this case, there is because it's a Google invite and Google puts these in by automatically. But I often, when I'm inviting people to a meeting, I might put a little bit of an explanation in the notes field to say, hey, guys, we need to meet next week to talk about such and such. Can you please see if you're free at this time? Or some people put in something that they call placeholders. They kind of say, this is a placeholder, see who's free. But if you press Shift and Tab, you'll get a couple of fields.
Collapse appointment, quick view. Edit read only. Blank.
So I'm
edit
now in the...
Occurs every Wednesday, effective 23/09/2020 from 10 o'clock to 10:30.
So I'm seeing this is a recurring event every Wednesday.
Attachments. Blank. Edit
and
read only.
I know that I am... I know
inbox
straight away myself.
Meeting
I'm not free next Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and I'm not going to be free the following Wednesday, so I'm going to politely decline Sharon's request. So to do that, I'm going to press Shift and F10.
Menu Q, quick print, accept, tentative, end.
So I can accept,
accept
it.
C, tentative.
I can tentatively accept it, for it, which effectively means, I suppose, that it's kind of penciled in my calendar.
Decline E.
I'm going to decline it.
Leaving menus. This meeting has been declined and will be moved to the deleted items folder. Do you want to include comments with your response?
So I can include comments with my response. I could send a mail and say, look, Sharon, this just really doesn't work.
Okay. Cancel
and if
button.
I tab here, there's three options.
Edit the response before sending. Send the response now. Don't send the response. Radio
so you
button.
Actually can, you can decline an event and never let the organizer know, which is horrendously rude. So I would not suggest doing that. But if you go up arrow once,
send the response now.
I'm just going to send the response, and Sharon will know that I'm not available to attend this meeting.
Okay, but
press enter.
Inbox Stuart.
And that email goes out and is sent as a meeting response, and will also notify Sharon that I was unable to attend.
Task switching, meeting controls, video. Your
yeah, I have there. That, Stuart.
Sharon got it already. Sorry, Sharon, can't attend your meeting.
That's okay.
So hope that helps answer that question, Raj.
Thank you, Stuart. And when you accept it, sometimes I lose the email, so I lose the link. Do you know what?
Yes, great question, actually. Yes, I should have said that. When you accept the meeting, the email automatically gets moved from your inbox, and I think Outlook will tell you that. So the link is now in your calendar at that slot. So if I had accepted that meeting from Sharon, then next Wednesday in my calendar at 10 o'clock, there would have been an invitation from Sharon. So I'd have to go to my calendar to find that.
Okay.
And great. There's no Thank way of you, keeping guys. That message in your inbox. Outlook does it automatically.
That really got me when I started using.
Yeah, it's definitely a funny one. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I just want to mention is private events, because I tend to use. I know lots of people have lots of different calendars. I have a family calendar and I have one that I share with my partner. But I have, for my work calendar, I tend to put everything into it, things that maybe I want to remind myself. So if I'm meeting somebody on Saturday evening, I might stick it in to my work calendar because it's my main calendar. But I don't necessarily want everybody in Sight and Sound to know what I'm doing at the weekend. So I make those events private. And that means that regardless of what level of access anyone else in the organization has, they can only see that I'm busy. They can't see any information about the event. So I think private events are useful sometimes.
How do you do that, Stuart?
On Microsoft Outlook, in the home ribbon, there's an option. There's an option to say whether the event is private or what the status of the event is, rather. And on the mobile app, there's literally a button to make private. It's a checkbox. You can turn it on or off. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very handy.
Great.
So I don't know, Carl, if there's anybody else.
A couple of people saying bye.
Goodbye.
Norman, Wendy and Michael. Raj is done. We've got Andrew Summers.
Oh, Andrew, regular attendee from Glasgow.
Good afternoon, Andrew. If you'd like to unmute yourself, sir.
Andrew, great to have you as always.
Hello, Stuart.
How are you keeping?
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
No, we can.
Oh, we can hear you. You're just very distant.
Yeah, you're just a little bit away from your mic. I think Andrew may have switched up, maybe gone.
Yeah, he's muted himself again.
Andrew, if you hear us, just try unmuting yourself again. You should be able to
get in quickly.
Yeah. Carl runs this thing to time.
No, it's not. Are you there, Andrew?
Hello, Stuart.
Hi, Andrew.
We can hear you, Andrew.
We're here.
Albeit you do sound like you're across the room from your microphone.
Andrew, if we don't get you, send us an email with the query if you want, and I'll make sure to reply to it. I just want to go through one or two questions we got about emails while that was coming in, or rather while we were talking. We got a quick email from Chris Lewis, and I think we might have sort of dealt with this, but he just says, "Hi, Stuart. Any tips around working with the iPhone, with Google and Outlook? I've had real problems getting my laptop to sync." And that is probably going back to the whole thing with Google Calendar and Microsoft Outlook. I'm not sure, Chris, what you're using, but if you're using Google Calendar and Outlook, it'll work fine to use it within Outlook, but syncing it with something else might be challenging. And there are sync options out there, but as we said, they tend to get plugged every so often, so they don't necessarily work indefinitely unless you're using Google Suite, in which case you can do everything. Most universities that are using Google or any big organizations will have G Suite, as they call it. So you can do everything with G Suite.
I think a lot of schools use it as well.
Schools, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Especially now.
We've dropped down quite a lot of attendees as well now, guys. So,
okay. Well, okay. I think that's about it. Thanks everybody for your attendance. Another great, thoroughly enjoyable session. Remember, we're not here next week. We're back in 2 weeks' time with our World Sight Day special. Thanks to Sharon and Carl, of course. And we look forward to chatting to everybody on the 7th of October.
That's great, Stuart. Thanks very much.
Thanks, everybody.